It's the paranormal from A to Z with Connie Willis and also Chip Coffee tonight. I'm in for George Norrie. How's everybody doing? Hey, if someone got you a Christmas gift or some sort of Hanukkah gift and you got them nothing, I got an idea for you. Coast Insider. It's certainly a wonderful gift to give somebody. It is an exclusive coast-to-coast AM content covering current events, conspiracy theories, all of paranormal phenomena you can think about, alien abduction, all kinds of great things that people can go to. And you've bought them a nice gift to where they can go to all the archives and get all the stuff that they may have missed or they wanted to go back to and hear again from years and years ago or even last week or last night because maybe they couldn't stick around and stay up that late. So that's Be a Coast Insider. It's a nice gift to give to someone, especially if they got you something and surprised you and you felt like, well, this is a gift that just keeps on giving. So check it out at coasttocoastam.com. We've got open calls later on, but first more with Chip Coffee coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis on Coast to Coast AM filling in for George Norrie tonight and getting to the bottom of the paranormal with Chip Coffee from A to Z. Chip, we're on I, and we're thinking interdimensional. Those kids, indigo kids, is that right?
Yeah, indigo children. Let's talk about them.
Okay.
I think that a lot of words are used. I use the word psychic kids, probably because I did the television show, but I think it's a real, I think it's a really good word to just use rather than trying to pigeonhole children with abilities. You know, indigo children, star children, diamond children, blah, blah, blah. They're words. It's semantics. You know, let's just call children who are manifesting some sort of psychic or paranormal or mediumship abilities. You know, I think psychic kids is just a good, it's just a good word to use for these kids rather than trying to label them. I understand indigo kids are supposedly like star seed children and things like that, but I don't like labels that much. So psychic kids is just a good mid ground for me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so, I don't know, it can get freaky again that way.
Yeah, I mean it becomes labels. I mean labels are not always good things. And you know, just kids that are manifesting abilities, psychic to me is, you know, I've sort of demystified the word psychic. Psychic to me is can't understand it, can't explain it. No, that's paranormal. Let me do paranormal first. Can't understand it, can't explain it, can't deny it. Psychic to me is the ability or skill set to access information or energy that you can't get using your five human senses. So those are the ways I have redefined for myself and sort of normalized both paranormal and psychic, those definitions of those two terms.
Okay, we're going to go to Jay on that note, and we're going to do, I don't know, you might want to help me out on this one. I can think of Jersey Devil. I can
Jersey
go.
Jersey Devil, again, that's one of those things in cryptozoology that, mm-hmm. You know, again, big question mark. What else were you thinking?
I was thinking Jesus.
Jesus is a good term. You know, I think everybody, you know, Jesus is now that we just had Christmas, Jesus mm-hmm. is a great term to talk about. You know, I think Jesus was a very skilled man. You know, I think Jesus was a mystic. I think Jesus was an amazing human being, irregardless of whether you think he's the Messiah or the Savior or whatever. Jesus was just someone who had a great amount of influence on the world. And, you know, I think even if I wasn't Christian, I would have a great deal of respect for who this man was and what he was able to do and the influence he's had on the world thousands of years later.
Yeah, I mean, look at the celebrations we're having. Even though a lot of people forget what actually happened and the reason behind Christmas, it's certainly changed a lot there, hasn't it? A lot of people don't even remember what it's about. It's more about gifts
and
trees.
I think that I look at Christmas as a collective of all those things. You know, we give gifts, we receive gifts, we talk about Santa Claus, we talk about Jesus, and people talk, oh, well, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Who gives a rat's rump when Jesus was born? You know, we're you know, Memorial Day's changed, you know, and we've altered other holidays. Who cares if that's exactly when Jesus Christ was born? You know, it's the thought and the motivation behind what a holiday is. And, you know, that's Yeah, don't get caught up in the minutiae of a lot of stuff.
We go into K, and K, the two, I can think of a few things with K. One of the things is that you know that you know something, you know, and karma.
You know,
and you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because when something happens, you know that you know it. You know that you know it.
But you don't know how you know.
That's right.
You know?
But you know it.
I know it.
Or karma?
Karma's a good one. I think we talk about karma a lot. We talk about, you know, what you give, you get, and, you know, wanting to have good karma come into you, to your life, and not putting out bad karma, and, you know, having to pay karmic debts, and, you know, it's this broad, broad topic of, you know, I think it really just comes back to the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and, you know, just try to live your life and be a decent person and not a jerk.
Do you think karma really does exist? Because I know that a lot of people think it doesn't exist whatsoever, and it was just said to try to keep you on the up and up.
Is there really anything wrong with that? I mean, in that capacity to say, you know, be good to people, be kind to people as often as you can. I mean, I'm the kind of person that will be nice to just about anybody, and there's typically two ways that I deal with nasty or ugly people, and that is, number one, I'll just walk away from the situation and ignore them completely, or number two, I'll have, we're back to Jesus again, I'll have a come-to-Jesus meeting with them, and that we'll, you know, we'll discuss it, and then if they're being a jerk, then, you know, cut ties. That just makes good common sense. Why perpetuate a negative situation? Be as good to people as you possibly can be, but there are those people, I agree, that won't allow you to do it. And, you know, why take a chance? Why take a chance? So, you know, just as often as you possibly can in life, be one of the good guys.
Certainly not.
Irrespective of whether you believe it's going to bounce back on you, you know, why not try to live your life with some level of kindness and consideration for other people, other individuals?
It's a good way to do it.
Well, living your life otherwise doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I can go with you there. So let's go to L, and I've got a good group to throw at you here, and see, you can maybe pick a couple of them, because the first one, and I'm sorry, I think this is very paranormal. And that is love. I think that's very paranormal. It is beyond normal, and it is a wonderful, powerful thing. I think it's the only reason we are here, and it's the only thing that is real. So that's a big one. Let me give you a couple more to decide upon.
Well, can we do love really quick?
Yes. Yeah, go for it.
I love everybody. I don't like everybody. I believe in unconditional love, but I don't believe in unconditional like. I believe that, you know, some people have to love from a distance. And that's okay. If you need to love somebody from a distance, love is very powerful, and it's hard to describe, but it's that wonderful feeling of kinship or association or whatever that you feel with someone, a positive regard, whatever you consider love. I love a lot of people, and then even some people I love I don't like, but you know, I agree. Love is. This, you can't really understand it completely. It just kind of creeps up on you, and it is.
Very paranormal. So here's some other L's for you. Lycandroids. I think it's lycandroids. Life after death.
I like life after death. You know, I think that whole thing, you know, does life after death exist? Yeah, I believe it does. I believe that there's, you know,
believe it does, Mr. Mediumship. That's what you do for a living.
It is. Could I swear on it in court? Could I, you know, on a Bible? No, I really couldn't. I don't think any of us can. But then again, if it doesn't exist, then where's this information coming from? But again, these are all questions that I have in my mind. You know, I believe that life after death does exist, and I believe, you know, my biggest fear, if I allowed myself to go in this direction, would be that when I breathed my last breath, that was it. You know, a scene is over, roll credits. you know, that there is nothing else, that the essence of who I am exists no longer. So that, yeah, I have to, my belief in life after death is really strong.
Well, are you familiar with remote viewing?
A little bit.
Okay. I was working with Lynn Buchanan, one of the military guys, one of the guys that did it in Project Stargate, which was when the military was doing it for like 20 years, and it was top secret program that, you know, it never existed, supposedly. Well, they did, what you do is you find a target, and you have these guys go to that target, and the target could be anything, you know, the target could be go see what the pyramids are about, you know, and these guys would sit in a room, and they would only have coordinates to the target, or they would just say, you know, describe the target. And amazing enough, they would describe things at the pyramids. So whatever the target was, these guys were incredible. Well, Lynn had said that they had asked him a few questions, and hope I get this right, Lynn, if you're out there listening. They did some studies on death and what happened after you died, and they could actually ask for targets like a minute before death. Like they would say something like, the target is, or describe the target at 1 minute before, you know, a person had passed away. 1 minute before, and, you know, they would describe what was going on with that person. Then they would do like a minute after that person passed, 2 minutes after that person passed, a week after that person passed, 2 years after that person passed. And they would describe what they saw. And according to Lynn, again, if I got this right, he said they did this with multiple targets, so multiple people. Some people actually saw what was described as heaven. Some people saw what we all kind of describe as hell. Other targets, they saw darkness, complete darkness for people that have passed on until about 12, 13 years later. And then they saw through these people's eyes again, you know, in some sort of life form.
But again, it's time linear.
Well, or, and also, does maybe the soul pop into some of these bodies at the ripe age of 12, 13, where a lot of tribal communities would celebrate manhood? Maybe there's something to that.
I don't know. I drop in things like that. I don't know. Again, there are certain things that I have a hard time wrapping my brain around. Drop in one of those things.
Yeah, right. Okay, so M, Mothman, Men in Black, magic, mediumship.
Mediumship is a good one. I think mediumship, you know, the real fancy word for mediumship is interdimensional transcommunication, and it's talking to other realms or other dimensions. And, you know, I think that it's the one I talk to is the dimension of the dead, and you know, I think that it's a very interesting concept to be able to somehow connect my energy with the energies of other dimensions or realms. So, yeah, I love that whole idea that there is that connectivity that can go on, that certain people can make that connection. I love
it. What's that like for you when, you know, let's just say you and I are chatting and we're having lunch together. Do people from my past that have passed on, do they just kind of show up as we're having lunch and they kind of are going, hey, look, I'd like to talk to you? Does that kind of thing come up, or do you have to ask for them? Do these things bother you?
Rarely. I enjoy my life in the third dimension. I don't, you know, I think that, you know, ambush readings like you see some people do on television, and I will mention no names, but walking up to folks in the mall or the grocery store or a restaurant and just, you know, giving them readings, that's kind of like ambushing somebody, and that to me feels like it's trespassing on them and it's an invasion of their privacy. So typically I don't do any of that, and I don't just read for my friends or for anybody. I turn it off. I turn off my abilities because I love my life in the third dimension, and I like living here and not always being psychic mediumship coffee. So, you know, it rarely happens to me that I'm just going to get information spontaneously. Sometimes I do. I will admit that sometimes I'll just, if it's very strong energy and it's supposed to come through, it will come through. But usually it's a matter of focus, and paying attention to and asking for those messages rather than them just coming to me spontaneously.
Okay. All right. Well, was there a time that you didn't know how to turn it off, where they would come to you and like kind of maybe wake you up or bother
No,
you in some way?
No. Luckily, that's not been something I've had to suffer through. I've always been, ever since my ability sort of manifested, I've always had the good fortune to be able to just say I'm clocked out right now. I'm not on the job right now.
Do you find that your mom has passed, correct?
My mom has passed.
And you talk with her?
Every now and then she'll pop in.
Do you ever just ask for her and she'll pop in for you?
You know what? I think people are dead for a reason. I think that it's kind of like if you, say you, for example, you typically live in the Philadelphia area, but right now you're sort of disassociated somewhat from Philadelphia and you're spending part of your time in Kentucky, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good analogy that, you know, if you die and you move away, sort of, then you're not completely disassociated from one thing or location, but you don't have that same attachment. People are dead for a reason. They've moved on.
Well, I know. Go ahead.
They're not constantly stalking us. I think that they're looking in every now and then, but they've gone to a different life. Sadly, to some people, they've moved on.
I know when you do your shows, you know, people pay to see you, and hopefully you will walk up to them and say, you know, talk about somebody that has passed and give
right.
the messages. So what happened?
Right. I think that's us calling on them. That's
mm-hmm.
us putting that energy out there. With my clients, I always say that we're creating a circle of energy. It's their desire to speak with a loved one, my desire to help them speak with a loved one, and that energy, that circle of energy has to be completed by that soul saying, okay, I'm willing to come and chat with you for a bit.
When you're at your events and you have the audience in front of you, I've seen you sit up there and you look out and, you know, you can have 60 to however many hundreds or so people hoping that one of the loved ones will talk to them. When you're sitting there, I'm sure there's a lot of pressure to make sure that happens in the first place. But do you actually kind of see when you finally point to someone and say, you know, I'm going to, you know, somebody over there, I want to talk to you. Are you seeing these spirits jumping up and down, or how are you knowing to point to that person to talk to them? What are you seeing visually? Anything?
Not necessarily anything visually. Sometimes I'll see what I feel as like energy around a certain person, kind of like almost like, you know, if you're driving down the road on a hot day and you see that kind of ripple effect in the distance that looks like
mm-hmm.
water, sometimes
mm-hmm.
I'll see that kind of energy around a person, and sometimes it's really hard, or they'll tell me, you know, in my head, look for the person that's wearing glasses on their head or something like that. It all depends. I'll get things like that. But, you know, interestingly enough, Connie, lots of times when I give a reading to somebody, it's out of my mouth before I even realize what I'm saying lots of times, and almost never do I fully have cognizance or memory of what I've said. It's just, it's through me, not for me. So once it's spoken, I'm on to the next.
Do you feel that it's because you are so confident in your ability, you just allow it to go through you, or do you feel that these spirits just kind of jump into you and talk for a second?
I don't feel they jump into me and talk for a second. I believe they sort of cozy up to me a little bit, and that they're sharing their energy with me in some way that I can't even begin to explain.
Love to hear this. Okay, we're moseying right along here with Chip Coffey on coasttocoast.com. Coast to Coast AM, that's the site you want to go to. And we are talking about the paranormal from A to Z, and we are going to be coming back here shortly, and we're going to go and start with N after that. So more with Chip Coffey coming up here, and open calls later as well on Coast to Coast AM. And wishing you happy holidays and a happy new year. Hey, everybody, I'm Connie Willis in for George Norrie, broadcasting from the 840 WHAS studios in Louisville, Kentucky, another fine affiliate of iHeartMedia here with Coast to Coast AM. You know, I was looking through the coasttocoastam.com, our website, and what incredible pictures. I love to see the pictures that people send in, the videos, and also the EVPs as well. And we encourage you guys to do that too, not just to look at what everybody else has done, but send in some yourself. It's definitely, we're all in this together, and we're all wanting to learn, and this is like the heart, the heartbeat of all of the paranormal right here on the coasttocoastam.com website. We've got more with Chip Coffee talking about the paranormal from A to Z, his perspective, a candid conversation, more of it coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. Chip Coffee is with me here tonight on Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis in for George. We are discussing the paranormal literally from A to Z, and we have gotten to N. And Chip, I'm going to throw out, there's just two I can think of. We've kind of discussed it a little bit, but near-death experiences, neuro-linguistic programming.
Neuro-linguistic programming, I don't even know what that is. So, you know, I've heard about it, and, you know, if I can't speak intelligently on a topic, there's somebody else who can, and if they're better equipped than I am, then have at it. Near-death experience, you know, I'll tell you a cute, well, it's not a cute story. I think it's kind of a heartwarming story. Is, I don't know that you know this about me, but did you know that I was born during my mom's near-death experience?
No.
Let me tell you this story.
Wow. Okay.
So my mom had had a child 12 years before I was born who very sadly died when he was less than a day old. And she was told that the odds were that because of a difficult delivery that she would not have any more children. Shortly after that, during the Second World War, my dad's ship sank during a typhoon in the South Pacific. And he spent five or six days on a coral reef before being saved. So the universe was kind of conspiring against me not to be born. And the my mom had to have an ovary removed because of cancer before I was born. So when my mom found out she was pregnant, she was very, you know, she actually told the doctor he was full of crap, that she was not going to be able to have a kid. And he said, well, wait a few months and you'll see. 9 months came and I still wasn't born. My mom went to the doctor and said, get this thing out of me. And they discovered that I was trapped by scar tissue that had formed over my mom's womb, and they scheduled an immediate C-section. And while my mom was on the table, she was cognizant enough, I guess, to hear a nurse say her blood pressure is plummeting, we're going to lose her. And at that moment in time, two glowing beings appeared on either side of the table, started to lift her soul out of the body. She said she remembers telling them, please don't take me, I don't want to leave my baby. They smiled and put her back down into her body. As she landed, her soul landed back in her body. She let out a scream, and that was when I was born.
Oh, my. Well, that explains everything.
It's kind of an interesting story, huh?
It absolutely is. Wow, there's a movie in the making right there.
So I thought that was, you know, I've heard my mom when she was alive. I heard my mom when she was alive mention that story a number of times, and it was always very compelling to me.
It's very interesting, all of that. So your mom, did she have abilities as well? Where did you get yours from?
I think my mom's side of the family, you know, I tell folks that I had a great-grandmother who was a Native American medicine woman and shaman on my mom's side. And she was my great, as I said, my great-grandmother. My mom had some unique abilities. I have cousins who are living and some who have passed that had abilities. My grandmother Coffee, here's kind of a mixed metaphor for you. My grandmother Coffee actually read tea leaves. So, you know, I thought that was interesting also. So on both sides of my family came from the South, and they were kind of like mountain people. They lived in the rural sections of South Carolina and North Carolina. And, you know, a lot of the herbal remedies and native ways and old folks stuff, they sort of gravitated toward that stuff. So, you know, I come from an interesting background kind of on both sides of my family.
I think that is a good thing, too, when everybody is open to it, because it allows you to venture into it more and be more confident with your abilities instead of people in the family telling you, no, this isn't true, this doesn't exist. You know, so obviously you had a family around you that had the thumbs up to all this.
They were very supportive.
Yeah, that's a very, very nice thing. And of course, that's where Psychic Kids came into the fact that sometimes one of the parents would say, this isn't happening. The other one would have a thumbs up to it. Or maybe both of them didn't like the idea of it, but they could not take away the fact that their kid was knowing things that the kid should not have known.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I still miss that show. Okay, so we're going back to the alphabet here. Let's go to O, out of body experiences, omen, orbs.
Let's talk about awards.
Good. I had no more. Okay. Orbs are pretty cool, by the way. There's so many different orbs, and so many people mistake orbs as well.
The majority of orbs that you get in pictures are environmental contaminants, dust, moisture, whatever, whatever, you know. So people, I don't even look at photographs anymore. People don't want to hear that you've got dust in your photograph, or you've got environmental contaminants, you need to buy a Hoover. People don't want to hear that. If you've got orbs in photographs, what I always tell people is not every orb is grandma coming for a visit. If you get orbs in your videos or your still photographs, ask the orb while you're actually reviewing your photos or your videos, ask them to change color or ask them to change shape. Hold out your hand or have someone step into the frame of the picture and hold out their hand and ask the orb to come over their head or to their hand. If you've got something that appears to be responding to requests, then you might have some validity for thinking you've got something more than a dust particle or a moisture particle.
Have you
But
had them do that before? Have you actually
I
spoken
have.
to like an orb and they've done what you've said?
I have.
Wow.
And I think that that's when it happens. But the majority of people, if they've got orbs around them, I don't even discuss orb photographs anymore, because people readily believe that that every orb is some loved one coming to visit. And if you want to believe that, that's fine. But that may not really be the case. If it comforts you, I'm not going to argue with you. But here's what I say to people: go to the bathroom, roll off several sheets of toilet paper, take them in your hand, get your camera ready, ruffle the toilet paper, and then shoot some pictures with your flash. You're going to get an entire family reunion.
That's a great visual. Well, I've seen some orbs myself, and I saw one once before, and I had a whole vibe thing happen. It wasn't on camera or anything like that. I saw it with my own eyes and saw it move in a direction. I felt it, something behind me turned around and saw it myself down about 2 to 3 feet off the ground, and it moved from left to right, and then it kind of disappeared. It definitely had its own, it seemed to have its own mind kind of thing. It was almost like when you have a sparkler at the 4th of July and you look right at
Right.
the pinpoint part of the sparkler, that's what it looked like. It didn't have things coming off of it, but that's exactly what it looked like. And it was pretty freaky. I mean, you felt a different vibe in the room and energy, and it was ooh, one of those heebie-jeebie moments. But I've heard a lot of people, friends of mine in the Bigfoot world, where they will see like soccer ball-sized orbs around the areas where they see a lot of Bigfoot, which is interesting. I also know a lot of the ET people, alien folks, that see a lot of orbs as well. I know people that see orbs that look like they have a face inside the orb. They actually have, eyes and a nose and a mouth. And I've seen pictures of those. What do you think of those?
How much of that is matrixing or pareidolia, which is, kind of, our brains are hardwired to try to make order out of chaos. It's kind of like laying back and saying, "Oh, look at that cloud. It looks like a bunny, or it looks like a face." Or, there were a lot of images during disasters and smoke that people say, "Oh, there's the devil's face in this picture." Or you'll see, an image in a window, and I can't tell you. I'll post a picture of just whatever on the internet, and people will go, "Oh, I see a woman standing in the upper window up there." don't look for spirits in every picture. Sometimes it's going to be a reflection, or it's going to be you're trying to create order out of something chaotic in a photograph. Not always, but don't jump to conclusions. That's the reason when I look at pictures that people will hand to me, which I usually don't even want to look at a photograph anymore, because I don't want to tell people something that they don't want to hear necessarily, because they leave being PO'd at me.
That's
so
true.
I just will look at a picture now and go, you have a very compelling picture. You have a very interesting picture. Or if I feel the person's going to be able to handle it, I'll go, I see what you tell me you see, or I see what you think you see here, but I'm not going to give you anything definitive because, you know, I'm not the photographic expert.
Yeah, it's and people can fake that stuff too, right and left, and they do, which is a terrible thing. Oh, it's so awful when you're trying to, you know, really figure this out, and you really want to study and research this, and people do that kind of stuff. It drives me crazy. So let's go to P, and that is, I got a lot of these for you to choose from, so stop me along the way.
Okay.
Psychics, potions, poltergeist, palmistry, prayer, paranormal.
We talked about poltergeist. We discussed paranormal a little bit. Can't understand it, can't explain it, can't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about poltergeist. Poltergeist is the German word for noisy ghost. And, you know, it's that's basically a very active haunting. It's where things are kind of getting out of control a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not always like the movie Poltergeist. It's not, you know, going to suck Carol Ann into the closet, and it's not going to, you know, it's typically not going to do a lot of that stuff. But poltergeist typically just means noisy ghost. And, you know, some ghosts are more noisy than others. And, you know, poltergeist situations have come to mean the more frightening, I think, elements of a haunting. But poltergeist just means that you've got a very active condition going on in your house from a paranormal standpoint.
Well, and a lot of times they associate it with teenagers, correct?
You know, lots of times I've heard when adolescents are growing up, particularly young girls, that once their menstrual cycle kicks in, that there's some sort of weird attachment that comes with a lot of females. But, you know, boys can get that also when their hormones are kicking up. You know, that can definitely be a part of an upsurge of poltergeist activity.
Well, if we can stick to P for a minute here, what do you know about palmistry? What do you know about reading palms? What do you think about that?
Very interesting, actually, on the internet tonight. I saw a meme on the internet tonight that said if you've got these little teeny marks right under, like lines right under your pinky finger on your hand, more than four of them, that indicates that you're a healer, which that's a word I have a problem with, too. I think that we can facilitate healing, but you know, I don't think many people are actual healers, but that's another topic. Anywho, palmistry, I like palmistry. I find it very fascinating. I don't know how to read palms, but I find it very fascinating that you know, people, it's like astrology. It's like those sorts of things. I find those very compelling and very interesting, although I don't know a lot about those subjects. I'm very curious about them, and I'm fascinated with people who have that skill set.
Hey, it works at parties all the time.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. It's kind of like psychokinesis. That's the thing where you can touch something. Isn't that it, where you can actually touch an object? Or is that, am I using the right word? Psychokinesis, is that where you...
That's where you can move. You can move them with your mind.
Is that what's
it
called when you can actually touch something and get vibrations off of it? I'm using the wrong word. It's late, so I'm probably...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I know a lot of friends that can do that. There you go. That's it. Yes. Another.
I knew I'd come up with it if I thought long enough.
You did well.
Moving things with your brain, and psychometry is when you touch something. So those things fascinate me. Those things really do fascinate me.
Well, what about sticking with P, psychics? I know you are one, but what do you, as a psychic, and you know many, many other psychics, what do you want to tell people along the way about psychics? Should they listen to every one of them? Should they be careful about what is heard? Do you want to tell people, hey, keep in mind, we get images, and then our interpretation could be incorrect, or or time is not an issue, or one thing can change, and all of a sudden, what I've told you can happen no longer can happen. What do you tell people to be concerned about or watch for with psychics?
I think a psychic, if they're looking at something, or will tell you exactly what it's like. It's like predicting the weather. You know, things can change. Free will can change it. We talked about that earlier. You know, I think that once you, that when you get a reading from a psychic, they are doing kind of a snapshot of what is going on in your world right at this moment. The way that things can play out and probably will play out, but once somebody tells you that this stuff is going to happen, then you can go about changing that with your free will. Absolutely. You know, am I going to meet the person of my dreams? Yeah, but you've got to make yourself accessible and go out into the world and not sit at home on your butt. And you gotta kind of do your part too, co-create with the universe. So, you know, there are good psychics that are very good, and they're, you know, just like they're, and they're bad psychics, just like there are good doctors and good lawyers and good haircutters and good mechanics. There's good and bad in every field, and there are some psychics who are much more skilled than others. And one thing I always tell people, if you go to a psychic and they tell you back to curses, you've got a curse or bad mojo or whatever on you, and try to get you to give them more money to break that curse, or they try to engender a need or foster a need on them from you, then run like hell.
I'm as you're talking, I'm thinking of there's also times like this is something being taught as remote viewing. Like you are a true natural psychic, and I kind of went into the remote viewing world to train myself. We all have the ability, so this remote viewing can train you to know how to do things, see things, and one of the things they taught is if you remote view yourself for that day. And you find out what's going to happen for you that day or the next day. And if you remote view yourself and you find out that you're going to get hit by a car tomorrow, then they say, well, you know, you're in a car and you're going to be in a car accident tomorrow. Then they say, well, then don't get in a car tomorrow. So, you know, as you're saying, you can make things change as well. If a psychic tells you something and you're not happy with that or you want it to happen, you've got to take part in it. If they say you're going to win the lottery this week, make sure you go and buy the ticket.
Right.
So,
Absolutely. I mean, that's what co-creation and free will are all about.
When and as a psychic, if you sit down with someone, when you do sit down with someone, how does Chip Coffee, I know everybody's different. How does Chip Coffee see if we're sitting together and you're doing a reading on me? Do you see visuals and tell me what they are and interpret them? Do you hear words from something? How do you get a reading for someone?
I prefer first and foremost to have my clients in a 30-minute reading ask me what they want to know. You know, I don't want to be a fortune teller or, you know, some great swami sitting in a smoky room with a crystal ball and a turban and saying, "You let me read your fortune, you know, cross my palm with silver." I would rather somebody, you know, let's get to the point. Ask me and I'll ask your spirit guides what they're, you know, I'll have a conversation, so to speak, with your spirit guides and ask them what it is that they want to convey to you regarding this topic. Sometimes I'll hear lines from songs or books or movies, or sometimes I'll see a glimpse of an image or a short video, or it can come to me in so many different ways, information, however spirit is able to get that information across to me. Here's an interesting story. If we've got time before break, I'll tell you that I was doing a reading for a lady. She asked me to contact her
No,
grandmother.
Chip,
Yes.
absolutely, we do not have time. So let me ask you before, can you hang out with me another hour?
I'll hang out with you another hour.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. I appreciate you doing that because we're not totally through and I want to hear the story you're about to tell me. So we're going to go to break and Chip has decided to stick around and continue discussing the paranormal A through Z. We'll see if we can get to the end of this and I appreciate that he's going to stick around. So thank you very much. More Chip Coffee coming up here on Coast to Coast AM.